do we know where we're going? There's a ball up there, and probably everyone's come in and thought, why is that ball up there? You know, why is that? Forget the ball. Okay? Forget the ball. We should deal with that a little bit later on. But the ball's there for a reason. This message started for me by me asking the question, why am I here? Over the last few months, I have lost many friends and acquaintances. Even in this last week, my mum, who's just surprised me, actually walked through the doors. She has been in and out of hospital literally twice this week. And I'm actually gobsmacked to see her sitting there at the moment. This is just, you know, I had no idea at all that she'd be here. But God is good. God is really, really good. And I've been challenged. You know, losing so many friends and acquaintances, you do start thinking about your own mortality. You know, why am I here? Is this what life's all about? And I realized it is only what we do for him, Christ Jesus, that will last. Everything else is just actually a waste of time. So when we get all het up about somebody getting not being our friends and we're not happy with this and we're not happy with that, it's completely meaningless because it doesn't matter. Because it's only what we do for Jesus Christ that will last. So, you know, so this has really challenged me. And recently we were away at Fusion and our new strap line really hit me. For him, for one another, for the nations. Now I understand why we're called Regions Beyond. For him, for one another, for the nations. As I go through this, I want this to be a challenge to us all. Because we actually don't know where we're going, but he does. And I want to talk to you about our journey as a church, but also I want to briefly give you mine, and I'd like you to bear with me, right? Because it's very brief, but I'd like you to bear with me because I'm going somewhere with this. My journey started 350 years ago when men left the shores of this country, the UK, went to Africa, and traveled 6,500 miles. Remember, they didn't have the kind of transportation we have today. And there was no telling whether they would come back or not. When they left these shores, they wouldn't know whether they'd come back or not. And they went to Africa, they bought slaves. They then traveled another 6,500 miles to the Caribbean and other places, where the British colonies in the Caribbean, in somewhere like this, my great-great-grandparents would have been sold and worked on the plantations. After about 200 years or so, the slaves were freed. And as a result of this, my grandparents and my parents were born free. But not just free, they were born free speaking English. And it's so good that we've talked about language today because this is God. I know this is God. In 1957, my parents left the Caribbean and came to live in the UK. They left the Caribbean as young Christians. When they came here, they were met with quite a lot of hostility and bad behavior. But we forgive for that. They decided, the reason was, one of the things was, after 5 years, they were going to go back because they were going to come to the motherland, make a bit of money, and go back home. But got out of the plans. In 1962, I was born. here in Gloucester. I lived just a few blocks away from here. I went to school just a few blocks away from here. And hence, I am here today as a British-born, English-speaking man. Not speaking Arabic or Swahili, but speaking English. As I said before, there is a point to this. In Genesis 37, Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers. His journey brought about the saving of a nation. In Luke 22, Jesus Christ, his journey to the cross, brought about the saving of the entire world. Jesus did this so that we can be victorious. The most important thing about our journey is not the journey itself, but is actually the destination. We have no idea how it will end, but one thing we do know, as long as there's blood in our veins, we're on a journey. Whether we want to accept it or not, we are on a journey. What is at the end of the journey is the big question mark. I would like you to listen to this. I wonder if you can just play this for me, very briefly. That was quite interesting. That is actually the original language that Christianity was in. Now you sat there and you listened to that. That was the Lord's Prayer. The reason why this weighs so heavy on me was we don't realize the responsibility that we have. The church... used to all this. It's better. The church itself has an awesome responsibility. Why is it that the original language of Christianity isn't used as much? Because this is Arabic, as English or maybe any other language. I think it's so important for us to remember that if you sat through a service and you heard everything, like, we wouldn't have a clue what was going on, what was being said. Right? But I tell you one thing you would know, you'd feel the Spirit through the words. Because this is how important words are. Dr. Haider Zaid, a Hindu author, in his book, The Power of Spoken Words, says this: words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use it, we can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement or destructively with words of despair. Words have power and energy, with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and to humble. Words are extremely important. You know, once you say something, you cannot take it back. You use the word, I'm sorry, but the damage is already done. You know, it's like when you cut yourself, you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. There's nothing you can do about it now. It's done. And that's why forgiveness is so important. What does the Bible say about words? And by the way, Zaid, he was a Hindu, the guy who I just quoted. In Hebrews 4 and 12, it says this: the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing of the soul and spirit, of marrow, of joint and marrow, and the discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. In Colossians, it says this also: let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thanksgiving in your heart. There are over 6,000 languages spoken on the face of this earth. And according to research, English is the most powerful and also one of the most spoken. When Rome was the great power, the language most powerful then was Greek. I love what it says in Esther. Esther 4 and 14, it says this: for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but why you have come into this royal position for such a time as this. And one of my favorite phrases is, for such a time as this. Her obedience led to the saving of a nation as well. And I believe that God is positioning his church for such a time as this. The responsibility that comes with being English speaking and a Christian is awesome. If we believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe as a church we do, it is no mistake whatsoever that you are born where you are born. If you were born here in the UK, America, the Caribbean, Africa, India, Australia, and I'm sure there's other places, by the sovereign plan of God, I believe there is a responsibility on us to preach the word. God's plan has always been to use every situation to bring about his plan, regardless of whether it's good or bad. And for a lot of people, they go through a lot of rubbish and things in their lives. But God's plan is sovereign. That is what matters. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And with all my heart, I believe that's what God wants to do with his church today. He wants to give us hope and a future. As Mark said this morning, you know, you listen to the news and all the rubbish that's going on and happening in our society, it does make you frightened. In fact, it could make you afraid to even want to go out. You know, and I understand that even here in Gloucester, there are people who, after a certain time, they don't want to walk the streets because they're afraid. Our journey as a church started when a family answered the call of God to come to Gloucester. Tony Hubble, his house became literally the catalyst for what's here now, today. Kelly and Michelle, in their home in Churchtown, they housed the church for a while, along with Mark and Maria in Painswick, in their home. They used Widden Primary School, Gloucester Music, Star 66, this very building we're standing in, Hockercoke Community Centre. Hockercoke was where the church was actually launched. This is where we became, as people would say, a church, a proper church. Bishop's College, the George Whitfield Centre, St. Stephen's, and now here, which is what we would call home until God says otherwise. We have been given a responsibility with this building. In the natural, we shouldn't have this. If you knew the story about this building, in the natural, we should not be here. But God. God has never forsaken us as a church on our journey. And this is why I believe that we need to, Isaiah 54, verse 2, our minds. We need to enlarge the place of our tent. Stretch our curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Because God is about to do something. I think if we don't remember anything else about today, this is the one thing we ought to remember. It is only what we do for him that lasts. And, you know, I know there are many situations that we go through, you know, whether we be a church or individuals. And sometimes we do ask the question, where is God in all this? But do you know something? He's always been there. I can talk to you about the ball now. The ball was actually the representation of God. Always been there. When I first came in this morning, I put the ball there, and I said to Kelly, don't take your eye off the ball. Now, I know you've heard that phrase before, but the reason is, somebody, goodwill person, would come along and say, "What's that doing up there?" and they would remove God from the situation. And I'll be honest, this is what's happened in the UK. God has been removed from a lot of the things that we've been doing in our nation. By removing God, we're tending to do things of our own volition. Because, let's be honest, for those of us who've been in church for years, we could go through the motions. Stand up when they stand up. Sing when they sing. The most important thing we do is what we do for Him. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's happening. Ephesians 30 says this. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do infinitely more than we could ask or imagine, according to His power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want to challenge us today. Only what we do for Him will last, but He's also promised us whatever we ask in His name, He will do it. And sometimes you think to yourself, really? Will God really do this for me? But for us who have been on the journey, especially as a church, we went through some hard times. Did He let us down? No. Hence, we are standing here today to say, He is our strength. And I just want to challenge us all that just as you came in and you saw the ball, that one's up there, I'm going to put it back for a minute. God has never, ever left us. Because in His word, He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless how bad it hurts, He is right there beside you. As I said before, the truth is, none of us know where we're going. In fact, we're a bit like the blind leading the blind. Unless we put our trust in Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. So the challenge is, what will you leave at the end of your journey? And make sure you know exactly where you're going.